1 John 2:12 through 17. Please follow along as I read it aloud. I write to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, dear children, because you have known the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you have... I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God lives in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Verse 15, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. You may be seated. So today, Pastor Wilson will give us the message titled, Resident Aliens.
Good morning, everyone. The title Resident Alien, I don't know whether you are familiar with that, but I remember, you know, before I became a citizen of this country, there's a little card there. It print those two words on it. And I wonder, you know, this probably is a very common experience for all of us. That on the one hand, sometimes you know what the Bible teach you, what the Word of God teach you what to do. But on the other hand, you struggle with that. And sometimes your action, your behavior, your decision will express otherwise. Have you ever experienced that kind of situation? I think all of us do experience this kind of situation. We know that on the one hand, the teaching of the Bible, the Word of God, God's principle is very clear. But on the other hand, we act otherwise. And as a matter of fact, today in this scripture that Apostle John pointed out to us that we have a very special status in this world. And this status actually explains why all of us have that kind of struggle. So before we get into God's Word, let's pray together. Father, this morning we are profoundly grateful for your Word, because it is through your Word that we have life. It is through your Word that we see light. So would you please minister your word to our hearts, our soul, and our minds. Capture that so that we surrender to Christ. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. In the study of Bible, sometimes you will come across a term in a lot of those theologian or Bible scholar. They use a term called already but not yet, with hyphens in between the words, already but not yet. How many of you heard of that term? Okay, quite a few. Already but not yet actually capture a status that we are in this world, in relation to God's kingdom. Already but not yet tells us that God's kingdom already dawned on human history. But the not yet part is the kingdom has not fully fulfilled yet. So we live in a situation between the two. On the one hand, we live on earth. There's earthly kingdom, countries, citizenships, worldly values, worldly philosophies. But on the other hand, we belong to another realm, another kingdom, the kingdom of God. We are citizen by Jesus' blood. We are citizen of heavenly kingdom. And therefore, we actually have dual citizenship. And this dual citizenship explains why a lot of time we struggle. On the one hand, we know what is God's will and what is the principle that's laid out very clearly in God's Word. But on the other hand, sometimes we are weak and we act otherwise. Today in this scripture, 1 John chapter 2, verses 12 to 17, can be divided into two parts. On the first part is between verses 12 to 14, and the second part is 15 to 17. 12 to 14, you will see there's a very clear parallelism. I write to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. And you, if you jump to the latter part of verse 13, I write to you, dear children, because you have known the Father. Now let's go back to the beginning of chapter, verse 13. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. And you jump to 14, I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. Then you jump back to the middle part of verse 13. I write to you, young man, because you have overcome the evil one. And then the latter part of verse 14. I write to you, young man, because you are strong and the word of God lives in you, and you have overcome the evil one. So it's very, very clear. There's three groups of people that Apostle John addressing to within his own church: the children, the fathers, and the young men. And all these, he put it twice, is a very clear parasom. This parasom tells us the mark of a resident alien, the mark of the people, you and me, who live in this world but also belong to the kingdom of heaven. The marks are expressed in the following terms. First, I write to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. And it's also expressed in the latter part of 13, because you have known the Father. Sins has been forgiven, and therefore we know the Father. What does that mean? Sins been forgiven. Sins been forgiven here, John expressed in a way that it is on the account of Jesus' name, not on our account, not because we repent. Now get it clear, it's not because we repent, but because of Jesus Christ, his work on the cross. Our repentance, therefore, is acceptable to God. Get it right, because this is very important. Oftentimes we attribute that God's acceptance of me because I repent. If you think that way, your theology will fall into action behavior to get God's favor. But not so. It's on account of Jesus Christ's name, on account of what he did for us. Therefore, our repentance is acceptable to God. Now, if we are honest to ourselves, we know that, you know, sometimes in our life, we wrong people. And sometimes we wrong people again and again. And sometimes we, after each time we wrong other people, we repent, we ask for forgiveness. But next time, we did it again. Based on that experience, you know that our repentance is not perfect. What makes our repentance acceptable to God is because of Jesus Christ, not because of us. It's God's work in our lives. It's God's sovereignty, it's God's love active in our lives that counts. There was a real estate owner. He owned a lot of properties. So one day he wanted to sell a piece of property under his name, and it's a warehouse. And he advertised it, and then there's a buyer come and then said, you know, can you take me to take a look with that warehouse? So this owner took the buyer, the potential buyer, to that place, tour him around, but that piece of warehouse has been there empty, vacant for months, if not for years. And the door was broken, window was smashed, trash were all over the place. As he took this potential buyer tour that property, he took a lot of pain to explain to that buyer that, you know, this piece of property is really worth something. And what you see, the door, the windows, and all these things, I will send a crew to come and clean it up, fix the window, change the door, clean up the trash, and if the structure of the building has anything wrong, then I will fix that. But the buyer turned around and looked at him and said, it's not necessary. Because when I buy this land, I have my eyes on that piece of land. This building I will tear down and I will rebuild a totally new one. My brothers and sisters, this is Jesus' work in our life. He wants to have access to that piece of land, that piece of property. And on top of that piece of property, whatever our life is, He wants to rebuild it. He wants to build a new building. Sins forgiven. That is the mark of a resident alien. That is the mark that you and I share when we live in this world while we belong to the heavenly kingdom. Sins been forgiven because of Jesus Christ's name. And if our sins been forgiven, we will know the one who forgave us. And that is why He said, I write to you, dear children, because you have known the Father. We know the Father based on the Father's work. We know the Father based on Father's grace ministered to us through Jesus Christ. The second mark of a resident alien is in verse 13. I write to you, fathers, because you have known Him who is from the beginning. We know the Father from the beginning, which also repeat in verse 14. I write to you, fathers, because you have known Him who is from the beginning. Now remember that in the first message on this series, on the first epistle of John, I emphasized one thing. John was telling his church, one thing you can hold dear to your heart, which is your experience with God through Jesus Christ, is a historical fact as well as a personal experience. It is something happened in history that you can go back to, you can study, you can verify. But also that very fact, that is an experience that you and I continuously can experience on a personal level. So he said, I write to you, fathers, because you have known Him who is from the beginning. Known the Father from the beginning. It is our personal experience. It is an experience based on historical fact that Jesus was in human history. And all He said, all He did is recorded and it can be verified. There was a group of botanists, people who study plants. They went out to a new place in the midst of big tropical forests. They were looking for new species of flowers. And this group of scholars, one day they would travel in those difficult terrains, and then they found out that under a cliff, a couple hundred feet high, they saw through their binoculars, they saw some flower they never seen before. And they want to get a sample of that so that they can study that. And so they asked and turned around, asked their God, a young man, saying that, you know, we don't know about this place and then we are not strong enough. So would you mind we get ropes, tie around your waist and lower you down that cliff. And then when we lower you down there, you get the sample for us. This young man looked at them, thought of that, said, gentlemen, wait a minute. So he disappeared, leaving all these scholars in the middle of the tropical forest. A couple hours he came back with old man. He said, I can do that, but I want my father hold a rope. I want my father hold a rope. You see, he knows who to trust. In that kind of situation, he knows who to trust, because his knowledge of his father. So therefore he can trust his life to his father. Apostle John said, I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. These are the knowledge that we build up in our daily experience, in our walk, in our journey, to know about the Father. And therefore, in times of needs, we know who to trust, and we know who can hold the rope for us. Do we have that security in our Father in heaven? Do we have that trust to Him? To cultivate that trust, it brings us to the third mark, the third mark of a resident alien, which is, I write to you, young man, because you have overcome the evil one. And also in the latter part of 14, John explained that a little bit clearer. I write to you, young man, because you are strong, and the word of God lives in you, and you have overcome the evil one. In other words, John saying that we are strong, young man, we are strong because God's word is in you. Because God's word is in you. Without God's word, there's no strength. Without God's word, there's no direction. Without God's word, there's no guidance. Words are very, very powerful. It's much more powerful than you and I can think of. Couple in the summer, in August, I think most of us, you watch your TV when the Olympic game opened, the open ceremony in Beijing. I think a lot of us watched that. And in that ceremony, there was one spectacular show. It's, people say that must be the army. You know, they dress up there. And then they pop up each one. So like, you know, people look at that. Some of them, they look at that. They didn't understand what it is. They thought it's the mahjong thing. You know, this kind of thing. If different block comes up. You know what was it? There was a printing block. That was about the printing technology. Because printing technology is one of the big invention, major invention in Chinese civilization. The invention of the printing technology also create a big revolution in Europe. Martin Luther, when he started the Reformation, one of the things that helped his movement swept through Europe was the printing technology. And what did they print? They print the Bible. When those information was available in a grand scale and people can read by themselves, it started out a revolution. Karl Marx said very clearly in his one of his quote. He said, if you give me 26 lead soldiers, I can change the world, I can turn the world upside down. What are those 26 lead soldiers? The English letter, alphabets. Put in the lead form, that means the printing thing. Words carry ideas. Words carry message. Words carry power. Words carry strength. We live on words. Our society, our civilization, our culture is profoundly influenced by words. Human history profoundly influenced by word. God created the universe through His word. God created the universe through His spoken word. And His word has power and will not return in vain. The question for us is, do we allow ourselves to expose ourselves to God's word on a constant basis, so that His word will become our life, to transform our lives, to direct our lives, to change our lives? Do we allow God's word penetrate our thinking, our mind, our value system? If we don't study God's word, how could that happen? If we don't allow God's word become part of our lives, daily lives, how could our mind, soul, and heart be transformed by God's principle? If we don't study God's word, we don't spend time with God's word, how can our heart be comforted in times of difficulties and challenge and find rescue and refuge in God's presence? The mark of a resident alien. Our sins been forgiven on the account of Jesus' word. We know the Father in the beginning, and we know that He's trustworthy. And most importantly, God's word in our life. Therefore, we can overcome the evil one. Because the evil one is seeking opportunity, seeking every possible chance to shake our foundation, to pull us away from God's love. Like it or not, know it or not, will live in spiritual warfare every day. The warfare is invisible. Therefore, from time to time, we let go of our guard. Because it's not visible, it's difficult for us to see. Because the devil is using every opportunity. The internet, the movie that you watch, the book that you read, the people that you encounter, the current trend in thinking, the current philosophy that is popular, to wage a war on our mind, our soul, and our heart, to change, to alter our value. And therefore, when time comes to make decision, we make the wrong decision. It is a warfare that happens every day. It is a warfare that we, you and I, encounter every day. And the only weapon that we can have is our salvation, based on the work of Jesus Christ, our knowledge of the Father, and His Word. Knowing that we are a resident alien in this world, then John turned and helped us to understand what kind of challenge do we face as a resident alien in this world. Verse 15 to 17. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of the sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. Here you see not parallelism, but contrast. In this couple of verses, John is contrasting the love of the world and the love of the Father. He's contrasting things that comes from the world and things that comes from the Father. He's contrasting the world will pass away, but yet those who obey God will remain forever. There is a contrast. In other words, it looks like black and white. It is so because, remember, Apostle John's church was under persecution. Persecution from the society, from the civilization, from the culture, from the Roman Empire. That they were hostile to Christians. They seek out Christians, kill them, persecute them, confiscate their properties. But on the other hand, within the church, there was problem. There was wrong teaching. There was heresy. There was question about Jesus' word incarnate. They cannot accept that. Remember that we talk about the current philosophy, a kind of current thinking in John's time, Gnosticism. Believing that the invisible, the non-material, is much more superior than the visible and the material world. And therefore lead to the great compartmentalized of life. The great divide. The great rift between one part of our life, the other part of life. And John was battling that. And therefore he put it in terms like, this is a contrast here. If you love the world, you love the world's thinking, you love the world's way, then the love of the Father is no longer in you. He is saying that there's only one allegiance that we can pledge. Which side are you going to pledge on? So he lists out these challenges before us. The challenge of a resident alien. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man. What are the cravings of the sinful man? Cravings is something that we desire deeply in our heart. We want to have that. And we want to pay a dear price to get that. These are the cravings of sinful man. It's a craving. But he said it is the craving of the sinful man. In other words, it's the wrong kind of interest. It's the wrong kind of interest that we invest in. Oftentimes we see things on the level, the superficial level. Yesterday I was in a wedding. And in the wedding, usually in the wedding, there's one part of the ceremony is the exchange of the ring. When the bride and the groom, they're holding the ring, and I explain to them the ring, what does it mean? I said the ring is a symbol of your love. Now when I say that, I thought of this. The ring, however expensive, precious metal, even some with stone on it, is a symbol of their love. But how many times our heart been captured by the stone? How many times our heart been captured by that piece of metal, that jewelry? But the jewelry itself, it carries the message that there's kind of love behind that. But oftentimes, our eye been fixed on the jewelry. No bride or groom will say that I love the ring more than the person. But by the same token, the thing that are good in your life, in my life, whether that's material or non-material relationships, would that become our idol? Would that become something that we put our interest in and we thought that is ultimately that's what I want? And John said that is the wrong interest. That's the wrong interest that you put in. And if you put in that place, the love of the Father will no longer be in your heart. The second part, the second challenge that John put forth before us is wrong passion. Wrong passion. Verse 16, the lust of his eyes. The lust of his eyes. A lot of commentators saying that the lust of his eyes probably talking about some sexual immorality. Yes, that's true. But I think John pointed to something even more broader. The lust of the eyes, it stirs up the passion in our heart. We all have passion. We all have passion in our lives. No matter how discouraged you are, you still have passion. But the question is, where do you put your passion? Where do you invest your passion in? That is the question. There was a story about a British actor. He has his own show in the London theater. And every day after day, night after night, when he performs, it draws big crowds. And nearby there's a church, there's a poor preacher. Every week the preacher go up and preach, his congregation gets smaller and smaller. So one day, this preacher couldn't stand it anymore. So he go to that theater to look up, to find this actor and ask him the question, what is different between you and me? You know, what's the difference between you and me? I wish you can explain that to me. Then the actor looked at him and said, how can I explain this to you? You are a preacher and I'm an actor. But he thought about it a little bit and he said, well, what is the reason for the difference between you and me? You are appearing before the crowd day after day, week after day, week with a message. And I appear with a crowd night after night with a fiction. And the difference is, you preach like that's a fiction, but I act the fiction like that's real. Now that's an actor. Did you get it? He treat the piece of material that he's acting upon as if that's real. But on the other hand, the preacher treat the real thing as if it's a fiction. Now I think this story helped me to reflect upon myself all the time. But also I think also it helped us to reflect upon ourselves as Christian as well. Do we treat our faith seriously? Do we treat our relationship with Jesus Christ seriously? Or we treat it like fiction? Because many, many people outside these four walls, outside in the society, they have strong passions and they treat those earthly things as if they are real. But the sad part is, a lot of God's children, we treat God as if that is fiction. Where is our passion? Where do you invest your passion? The third challenge that Apostle John remind his people is the boasting of what he has and does. In other words, the wrong kind of dignity. The boasting of what he has and does basically is addressing to a lifestyle. It's addressing to a lifestyle. Are we boast on our social economic status? Are we boast on our education, our degrees? Are we boast on certain things that belong to this world? Are we pride about things that is not rooted in Jesus? Edinburgh in Scotland is a beautiful city. In this city, there's a castle called the Castle of Edinburgh. In British history, the Castle of Edinburgh is a stronghold. It's a military stronghold. It's very, very defendable because it's built on a very steep road, a steep hill. And the people who guard Edinburgh, they know where the weakness is. So usually in history, they put soldier, they put defend garrison and, you know, all these things in the weak point. But one point they don't defend is one of the wall that is with a very steep slope. They think there's no one going to come up there. But from time to time in their history, what they view as their stronghold, their strength, always is the point that the enemy invade. The enemy will send small group of soldiers, climb up that steep slope, and climb over the wall and surprise them. A lot of time when we put our pride on things, usually those are places that is our weakness. That is our spiritual weakness. We need to be careful. As a resident alien live in this world, John reminds us we belong to two realms. On the one hand, God put us on the earthly kingdom, the society, the time that you and I live in. We have our civic duties. We have things that we need to take care of. And we have the message to bring to the people in this world. But on the other hand, we belong to another kingdom. And our allegiance, our loyalty, is to that kingdom. And I want to say something about the election. I want to say it today because the election has passed. I don't want to say it during the election. Now, in this election, our country has been very divided during the campaign period. Two candidates bringing in two messages, and it is also equally divisive in God's church, even in this church. Some would favor a candidate, some would favor the other one. Some would favor one candidate because some of the issue that we think the Bible care about. On the other hand, some would favor another candidate because of his progressive agenda, bringing change to the country. I have to tell you, I spent weeks to study them, and I come to the conclusion that our church should not take any stance in this election based on this. Because when I study more, I hear argument from the conservative side as well as from the liberal side. Yes, there are some issues that directly relate to Bible: abortion, gay marriage, try to redefine the definition of marriage. These are things that the Bible, yes, deeply care about. But on the other hand, there's also issue about social and economic injustice in this country that has been progressed in the past years. And these, I cannot dismiss them as the Bible doesn't care. Because if you look back to the Old Testament, that Israel was under judgment of God, not just because of abortion or those homosexual activities, but also because they turned their back from their poor. They turned their back from those who've been oppressed. God is a God of the poor, the widow, the orphan. And if you look back in the Old Testament, God is a God who cares of all these issues. So I have to tell you, when I look between the two parties, the two candidates, I'm torn. Because none of them can bring answer. Because none of them can bring forth a biblical solution on earth. So that comes back to the challenge of a resident alien. John said the challenge comes from the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eye, and the boasting of what he has and does. And I heard that in the church, sometimes people attribute, like if you vote for a certain candidate, that might be implying that you are spiritually immature. Or if you vote for a certain candidate, that you are rigid. And I think that, you know, this probably helps us to reflect upon ourselves a little bit. Are we boasting on something that we has and does? Are we boasting on certain lifestyle that we identify with? John reminds us, if we want to boast, it's not something coming from this world. And in church history, since the Reformation, God's kingdom fulfilled on earth is always ended up in tragedy and failure. Zwingli tried to establish God's kingdom in today's Switzerland. It didn't work. Why? Because human nature basically is a corrupted. It's a corrupted nature. We cannot bring forth solution. Our allegiance, our hope is on God's kingdom. It's on Jesus Christ who will come again. And He will renew this world. And that's where our hope and where our heart should invest in. And I hope as we mature as a church in God's word, we can look at things happen in our society, in our culture, from the biblical perspective, which is more comprehensive and which will help us to acquire the right kind of hope. Because none of these political candidates will bring forth an ideal solution for the problem in this world. Resident aliens, you and I, we have a dual duty. On the one hand, our hope, our loyalty is to Jesus Christ, to our Heavenly Father. On the other hand, we have a message to carry to this world, to stand firm on the biblical values, to declare God's good news, and to bring Jesus' love to the people around us. Let's bow our head and pray. Father, we once again this morning being reminded by your word. Do not love the world or anything in this world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Father, would you please, through your Holy Spirit, help us to reflect upon ourselves. Some of us have been bound by material needs and wants. Some of us may be bound by some of the earthly ideas, lifestyles, things that it seems to be we care. But yet, when we study your word, when we get closer to Jesus, and we know that this world is not our home, we belong to a home that's much more glorious. So it is with hope from our heart. Jesus, we wish that you will come. You will come soon. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.